good afternoon, St. Louis. DG SMKOX. Happy Monday to you. Back from vacation. Back to a new timeline. That's always cool.
It shifted. It shifted while you were gone.
If you haven't seen the picture of me and Phoebe online yet, I have a long head of hair. So, yeah. When Trump got hit in the ear, I grew hair, and these are the changes.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well,
just be like literally stretching beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. Like, we all have our story. Everyone's going to have a story. We all have a 9/11 story. We're going to have a Trump getting shot story. I was watching the local news, and they broke in, and they said, like, there's been shenanigans, and Trump has been shot. And you're like, Trump is dead. Trump has been shot. When someone says someone is shot.
Yep. That's the first thing you
think. That's the first thing you think, because we all see so many movies. And then they played the tape a gazillion times. But the first time through, when you're living it for the first time, mm-hmm. And it's just beyond belief.
My introduction to it was I had just gotten some food. I was out. I came back, sat down, turned the TV on, and I just looked at Twitter real quick, and I saw somebody tweet, "Let's everybody just wait to see what the facts are before we jump to any conclusions." And that's all they said. And I was like, oh, what the hell's this about?
Yeah,
what is this?
I learned it. On Twitter, I was looking at baseball stuff because, what am I doing? And Russell Brand, that's the first one. That's the first one I saw. And then I sent that to someone else. Actually, was it you, Andrew, that mentioned it? Andrew's like, I sent it to all of us. Yeah, that's the first tweet I saw. I'm like, I got to send it to the crew. And then I sent it to a couple other friends. I'm like, wait a minute, that was Russell Brand. What the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
But
that
was the first one I saw.
Yeah, so I was like getting cleaned up. So I get out of the shower. I'm, you know, in front of the sink. And my phone, I get like a CNN update, and it says, breaking, Donald Trump rushed off stage at a rally. And my first thought, honest to goodness, was, okay, I need to, as soon as I'm, you know, ready, I need to go out and turn on the TV. But my initial reaction was, I thought it was like environmental protesters maybe chanting or throwing paint, mm-hmm. or pro-Palestinian protesters like getting really loud. Literally 100%, it was one of those two things. So then my phone rings and it's Ranji, who never calls me. And as soon as Chris Ranji called, I thought, oh my gosh, this is bad. I go, hello. He goes, are you watching this? And then I was like, okay, is he dead? What's going on? It changed just like that. Yeah. Seeing him call me.
Yeah.
The closest thing for, I don't know, Amy, you're probably borderline remembering it. Rach and Andrew, you probably do, was the Reagan thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the closest.
Like six or seven.
I mean, I was obviously not much older than that. I was probably, what
was
year was
not
that?
Born. 81.
80?
No, it was four.
It was
I would remember it.
Yeah, it was 80?
Yeah, 81.
I was
81. 16 or 17.
Say, I was 9 or 10. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I remember it. I remember it seeing the news coverage. I remember seeing mm-hmm. everything going crazy. And it had this kind of feel to mm-hmm. me then. Like, that's how I felt. I'm like, do you know?
Well, that was within a couple months because both were 81.
Right.
Reagan and the Pope.
Right.
Assassination attempts would happen within a couple months of each other.
My memory of at that time of the Reagan thing was the SNL sketch of Gumby being shot. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That is,
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Eddie Murphy played Gumby.
Yeah, they did
you
a
know
whole.
Who Gumby is?
Yeah, I know, okay. Yeah. And Eddie Murphy. I know he plays Gumby, but I didn't know he.
That's what came out of the Reagan.
That's how they handled it.
That's exactly how they handled
that's
it.
That's it.
Well, I mean, let's just say what everyone's thinking. If Donald Trump, who is a human, this has to have an effect on you. And if it has the effect it is seeming to have, I saw the lady interviewed a couple of times who interviewed him the day after. And she said, I've known this guy forever. I've interviewed him 100 times. He means it. He's a changed man. Everything's going to be about unity. He completely changed his speech. He was going to go after Joe Biden in this epic way. Now he's not going to. If he just keeps it between the rails, if he's just a new and improved version of the same guy, he wins. If he really changes and really impresses independents, he wins in a walk. I mean, I understand that we've stopped a lot of the, is Joe Biden going to be the nominee? Should he step aside? Should we give him a cognitive test? I understand that we've done that to a certain extent because of what just happened, that it would be rude or it would be tone deaf to do that. But also, it doesn't matter as much anymore. Would you agree with that?
Well, again, from, and this is, I know if it sounds crass or whatever, talking about the political effect, but it's true. And you acknowledge the loss of life, the father who died.
Mm-hmm.
So grateful for this entire country, for Donald Trump, that he was not killed. Yes. I want to acknowledge those profound things. Yes. So, and we talked about that. So acknowledging that, we have acknowledged it as well. But one big thing in political campaigns, there's some that they talk about the motivation of voters to get to the poll. And there's a thing called the enthusiasm gap. And you always look at the enthusiasm gap. And I would say right now, with the confluence of the disastrous debate performance from Joe Biden and the question of his age and whether or not he should even be the nominee, and then Trump's show of strength after an assassination attempt, the enthusiasm gap between voters is like the Grand Canyon now.
Yes. Yeah.
When you may not be switching people's minds, but as far as motivating your voters to vote, it's not even close.
The only thing that puts that into question for me is that it's July 15th and not October 15th.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
There is so much
time to get used to that.
But if it was October 15th, it would be over.
Who in the world knows? Yes, if it was October 15th, I think this is absolutely, without question, finished. I don't know that it is when we're sitting here still in the middle of summer.
Well, everyone knows my views on Donald Trump, but when I'm watching this and I'm watching it through the first time, and, you know, you can tell he gets hit in the side of the face, ends up being his ear, and he goes down, and then the Secret Service surround him. Then when they pulled him up, and he looked about as old and white and sickly and pale as anyone's ever looked, understandably, and 5 seconds later, he's pumping his fist with his face covered in blood. And I'm thinking, right at that moment, I'm thinking, the Biden voters are cheering because he swallowed his oatmeal. And this guy just got shot in the face and he's pumping his fist and screaming fight. It's pretty strong.
Well,
even as an anti-Trumper, it's pretty strong.
And I will say, as more important than whether or not you're voting for Biden or Trump, more important is, as an American, after assassination attempt of a former president of the presumptive Republican nominee for president, just a cowardly act that resulted in tragedy. Comprator. Thank you. Say his last name. Comprator, who died shielding his family. Another one critically injured. To see an American candidate for president, the leader of the free world, stand up with blood streaming down his face, the American flag in the background, and raise a fist. As an American, that's what you need to see. That's what you want to see. And again, people may say, well, this doesn't matter. In that moment,
he earned it.
In that moment, he earned it. So that's what you need to see, is that strength.
To take this back to the original question about whether or not this changes him, and I've been thinking about this a lot, that, you know, he is who he is, and he's been this way for decades, and we've always known the boastful kind of personality that Donald Trump is. He probably has not in his life, that I'm aware of, ever actually had a close call with death. And almost none of us, even though we have a lot of gun violence in this country, statistically speaking, we are not going to have a moment like he did. When you have those moments that happen to you, I don't know how they don't fundamentally change you as a person, regardless of who you are and what your position is. If a bullet grazes your face, how do you not become a different person? And I've been thinking about that a lot since yesterday, and hoping that maybe he does. But also, I have doubt. You know, so I'm very conflicted here. I feel like this has to change him in a real, legitimate way, but also he probably has too many people who are influential to him who will kind of bring him back to the old Donald Trump.
If anyone could pivot and bring the party along with them, it's this guy. You know, because there will be a lot of people who are like, yeah, you almost got shot right in the face, but I still am anti-abortion. I'm very pro-life, and I don't like the exceptions for the mother or rape or incest. If anyone could bring his party along wherever he is heading, existentially, it's this guy.
Yeah, the thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around, not being an expert, is tragedy and near tragedy can tip you in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
It can tip you toward change, or tip you toward leaning even more into what you were
calcifies
before.
Whatever you thought.
So
before,
I mean, yeah. I don't think we can read that, and if we do notice something, it'd just be over time. Like it's you know, we haven't really seen him out there. Like we'll see it. We'll see something at the RNC convention. Sorry for the redundancy, but at the RNC. But I think that everybody is affected differently by every kind of tragedy, every kind of scare, every kind of potentially life-altering event, and I'll be curious to see which way that goes.
But he said the very next day, he said, I have an opportunity now for unity, and I'm paraphrasing, but...
Right, but his Truth Social message today sounded exactly like the guy that we are used to,
that's
right?
That's true.
He also said, I'm not supposed to be here.
Interesting.
I'm very surprised. That doesn't seem like the kind of thing Donald Trump would
say. No, it doesn't.
And I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you who are like sitting on the edge of your seat about the VP pick, there's a scroll on CNN saying that Senator Rubio has been told he is not the pick. My understanding is it's because of the president and the vice president cannot be from the same state. And since they're both currently from Florida, I think Cheney moved to Wyoming or something like that when it was Bush. But he's been told he's not the pick. There's a big, giant red headline on Drudge saying Ben Carson, even though he's not really been discussed that much in the last few weeks. Welcome back, DGS. We'll be keeping you up to date on what's going on at the RNC. Amy was just telling us that Burgum just found out it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Rubio and Burgum are out. We're left with Vance and then other people who are not really talked about that much, like Carson and Youngkin and Nikki Haley and so forth and so on. So he's making it interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. And I will say, I don't know if he has had this name picked out for weeks, for days, or if he really did choose today, because I said it's on brand for Trump to make a decision toward the last minute. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it is impulsivity, for sure. But also, because Donald Trump is a showman / salesman, whatever you want to call it, he is an expert at reading the room and saying, in this moment,
you're right,
it would be the best pick. Because I would pick someone months ago and go, oh man, I wish I would have known. Trump doesn't commit himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's not beholden to anyone. And so who knows when he knew it would be this person? Maybe it was months ago. Maybe it was today. I don't know.
So for what it's worth, the report was that Burgum's been told he's not the VP. Caitlin Collins, like a minute ago, says that Burgum has not been informed he is not the VP pick. So so who the hell knows?
Neither
so he might still be in.
Maybe he called him and twisted his hair and go, well, you're not the VP.
That would be the best.
Like you.
I do that all the time. You want to go out there? I don't not want to. I do it all the time.
Maybe. You know who almost died twice over the wake? Me. I had a real close call.
Oh, did you?
With?
Yeah.
Bigfoot?
No, I wish. I'm fine going out with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way you'd want to go. Yeah,
I would be the happiest guy who ever got tore limb from limb.
You'd be like
You'd
be like Randy Quaid's character in Independence Day.
I'm back!
You have like, you're the only guy, you're like smiling.
Yes.
Your arms are being ripped off. Like, we think he's smiling.
He's like, yes!
He looked elated.
I knew it! I knew it! How I knew it!
No, we went to the great Sand Dunes National Forest, which I would recommend anyone to do. It's a once in a lifetime. You drive for 3 hours in the middle of the high deserts, which is very pretty, but also off-putting.
Yes.
I have a friend who is afraid of big spaces. There's a name for it.
Agoraphobia?
No, that's going outdoors, I think,
which
or
is
leaving your house.
Kind of related.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it is one road that goes for 3 hours south and north, and it's just scrub, you know, it's like you're shooting a Western. Anyway, you see a car every 5 minutes. You can go 100 miles an hour. It's easy to pass people because there's no cars coming. And so we're leaving the Great Sand Dunes. We had a great time, probably the highlight of the whole trip. And then there's a car coming right at me. And it's passing 5 cars. Which is so weird because there aren't 5 cars on the entire road. And I got within about 10 feet of this girl, and she was about 8 years old. Like, she must have just got her license.
Ugh.
And she's driving a bright yellow neon hoopty, and she's looking at her phone.
Oh.
So she's passing 5 people going at least 80 miles an hour and not looking. And so I slam on the brakes and honk, and everyone she's passing honks. And then she looks up and then she puts her blinker on to get back in the line. And we missed by 10 feet.
What the hell?
Oh
yeah. And I'm thinking, because I'm seeing the whole thing. And the girls, you know, Phoebe took her friend Harper. The girls are seeing it. And I'm about to go off the road on my side.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking enough ahead that if she looks up and sees me and she can't get back in, that's the way she's going to go. So now it's like this game of chicken that you didn't want to play, where I can't go to the left because there are five cars.
Yeah.
I can't go straight because she's in my lane. And if I go right, she might just reflexively go that way too. Terrifying. And then the other time I almost died was on the gondola. I got stuck for 5 minutes.
Which one was worse, Dave?
That one.
Really?
Oh, the glass ball of death. I hate the gondola. Hate it.
That was worse?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, is it just because it wasn't as fast?
Yes.
The other one was quick?
I had plenty of time to think about it.
So okay. Does the gondola, it combines fear and boredom? Like, that's the problem?
No, there's no boredom.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I don't, for someone who wants to live in Colorado, I don't like inclines or declines.
Yeah.
And especially going up on the gondola as something mechanical. Plus, that morning I was over in the village having coffee, and two 12-year-old boys were playing chess. Then I noticed they're both wearing Keystone jackets, so they obviously work there. I'm like, oh, they must work with children. And then they were running the gondola. Oh.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
DG Asim Cam Wex will let you know as soon as we know who the VP pick is. We know who it's not. It's not Rubio. It's not Burgum. You still have Vance in there that was being discussed at the final three. Drudge is all over Ben Carson. People are talking about Nikki Haley. What a giant move that would be if Trump were to do that. That's the only one that would move my meter as far as making me look at that choice. But, you know, we'll see. Can I, before I leave my trip to Colorado, can I say one thing for all the parents out there? This trip was such an analogy for parenting, because there were a lot of times when I was really uncomfortable. Like I said, I don't like driving in the crazy up and down and, you know, no guardrail and things like that. But I had Phoebe and her friend Harper, both 19 years old, in my back seat. So I had to fake it. I had to pretend that everything was fine and I'm good with driving 13 hours in a clip and everything's good. You guys just you sit back there and you giggle box and you talk about boys and that's all good. And then being on the gondola, one of my biggest fears, I know it's my friend Scott, whose place I stayed at, Scott Rutledge, thank you a million, was shocked when he heard I was afraid of gondolas. We were on a gondola at the time. And he was like, what do you mean you're afraid of it? And I'm like, look around. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? We're hanging by a thread. But then when it's, and I'm just looking at TikTok. I'm in my own little world. It's going to take 10 minutes. I'm fine. You're going to survive. And then when we stopped, Phoebe got uncomfortable and you go into dad mode.
Yeah.
We did whitewater rafting. We did a really, like, a serious one where everything's 4.5 going heading up to fives. Anyone who whitewater rafts knows what that means, but they're, you know, pretty technical. And the biggest fear is someone falling out of the boat. And so the first couple of rapids we did, and I was strapped in, my feet are underneath the thing. Phoebe didn't look like she was too far in there, but also I'm afraid of her, so I'm not going to say, like, hey, are you good? Because she knocked me out of the boat. And she almost popped out. And so, like, halfway down the rapids, I'm reaching out and grabbing her. That's being a parent, right? Doing stuff like that for your kids when, it's an analogy to life. Because, look, I'm Charlie Brown. I'm afraid of everything. I'm terrified of everything in life. I'm turning 60 in a couple months. I'm worried about immediately being old or getting cancer or whatever it is. Like, I'm uncomfortable being alive. But when your kids are with you, you have to fake that you are fine.
Mm-hmm. Right? And you do it naturally.
Yeah.
I really think it's an instinct. I really do.
You are in danger of being thrown into a rapids and you abandon your post and you reach out for your child.
Mm-hmm.
You are terrified that the gondola just stopped. But your child's uncomfortable, so you're like, honey, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, your focus is on them.
I saw the men who run it this morning playing chess. They're both in their 50s with gray on their temples. They
look like
airline pilots.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're fine.
Yep.
Last thing you want to say is, Dad, are we okay? Not great.
Just not
looking good,
like,
kid.
No,
we're not good.
I'm not okay. I don't know about you.
Got any tips to relieve anxiety?
Funny. You know what else happened on this trip? Two or three times, we went out to dinner or shopping or something, and I forgot my phone.
Nice.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
I just didn't really care that much.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
No, my favorite part of like the mountains is when you hike far enough, you have no reception. Yeah. There's nothing. And it just feels like an enormous weight has been lifted off your shoulders.
Until something goes wrong.
That's right. That's right. Until something goes wrong or somebody needs to get a hold of you and it's important.
You run into a bear.
Yeah. Or the bear.
What am I going to do? Call the bear's parents?
Well, no, you tell the bear, like, hang on.
Hang on,
before
I gotta
you
make
attack.
A phone call. Hello? Do you know where your son is?
Yeah, I hear these Apple phones are really good. They know when you're being attacked by a bear. Don't they automatically call the 911 for you?
I also had a unique experience I doubt that many people have ever had. When we left Colorado at 6 a.m., I turned on KMOX, and I listened until we got home at 8 p.m.
Man. Wow.
Awesome.
I listened to every minute, listened to your guys' show, really enjoyed the whole foul ball thing. I was so proud of Ronji. He kept the bit going.
Did you get the follow-up to that?
I listened to the whole show.
No,
so.
The next day, right?
What?
You guys had, who did you have on that broke in and wanted to talk about it with you?
The president of Rankin
Tech.
Yeah.
The president of Rankin Tech College, technical college, he listens to the show, listened to the crossover hour with us and you, and he said, Ron, disagree.
We had the vice president on, and she's like, the president would like to say something. Is that okay? And sure. And then he popped on, and
he said Ron was wrong. He said, give the kid the ball.
Kids got to learn.
That's great.
Kids got to learn.
I love that Ronji gaslit the entire audience through multiple shows. Multiple shows.
Yeah. Mason Jar, I got home, Mason Jar goes, what's going on with Ronji? I go,
it was funny.
He leaned in and he never stopped leaning.
It's a hard word out there, kid. You got to learn.
Also, I don't know if you guys have listened to your own show when you're not on it, but your instincts don't go away. I had the jokes. And especially when you're talking about Swampy McPanties or whatever it was.
I don't remember this.
That was not our show.
Who is the ball player that had the immaculate Sloppy McDaniels?
Oh, yeah, Sloppy.
Right. The old-timey guy that had it before. Yeah, the White Sox player.
Just kept saying it.
Yeah, yeah. What was his last name? Sloppy something.
Thurston?
Yes! Sloppy Thurston. Sloppy Thurston.
Sloppy Thurston. My third almost accident. I have that movie.
Well,
you're like, baby, close your ears.
Yeah, you're waking the kids
up. That's what she said.
That's on the joke.
You have the instinct in the jokes. My problem is I was on vacation the week before, and I'm like texting in, like, oh, here's this. What about this? Ask this question. And
Amy, be on vacation, would you?
That's what Ronj said. He's like, stop texting us and just be on vacation. That's really funny. Sloppy Thurston.
Yeah, I only respond to dirty things.
You should have texted in. You should have hit the text line.
How do you get that name, Sloppy?
I mean, in 1910, it could be anything.
It really could be.
Yeah. I mean, until like the 50s, most major leaguers were like alcoholic bricklayers, right?
That's exactly right. You're not wrong.
Time to go to my winter job.
They were digging graves in the off-season. Yeah.
I could have played in the 50s.
Yeah.
I was sober.
Hey, in 1910, you would have been Sloppy Glover.
Yes. 100%.
I'm sorry. Does that mean he's a bad outfielder?
Doesn't mean anything bad. It could mean a compliment for all we know. All the nicknames back then were like that.
It could be like, calling a big guy tiny.
Yeah.
Maybe he was immaculate.
That's true. Maybe he was the neatest person on earth, and that was the joke.
Sloppy Thurston. Awesome.
I was dying. I needed to get it out. Hey, girls.
No. He got two 19-year-olds in the backseat. Like, why is dad telling bad jokes?
So, I don't know if you ever heard of Sloppy Thurston, but your dad has.
Okay, so context.
No, they're going to be Thurston. Like, should we report him?
What is a Sloppy Thurston?
Yeah, they're both texting their mothers.
You don't want to know what a Sloppy Thurston is.
It's a baseball player.
They could have become the new Skibbity Toilet.
Yeah, could be. Lots of Riz.
That guy's total Thurston. Yeah, we could have started something for Gen Z. Gen Z and Gen X meet. They meet where sloppy meets.
What's a sloppy
Skibbity Thurston?
That's when your friends get there first. That's what that means.
It's too bad, though. It's too bad that in 100 years there won't be a Skibbity Thurston in the big leagues.
No.
We just don't have
those.
We
got a couple of Mookies, and that's about it.
Yeah, but that's actually like their name on their jersey.
Right.
What
about Stubby?
Stubby's a good one. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
He comes from a long line of Stubbies, right?
I know, that's good. Yeah, it's also like it's...
Or is it a short line of Stubbies?
Yeah, like I think his dad was Stubby, and I think his grandpa was Stubby. That's pretty cool.
Stubby was my father. Just call me Stubby, too.
He called me
Stubby the third.
What is Stubby short for or nickname for?
Floppy.
If you have that...
good times.
You're my two best friends, Stubby and Sloppy.
Yep.
Can I tell you, though, this hour is very entertaining. Not that you guys weren't good without these two, but I mean, you guys were really laughing, and I was laughing. And
it was good.
It was great when the girls were like, believe it or not, Ronji's available.
We don't know how this is possible.
Was this about the foul ball thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids
because
need to
you
be
said,
taller.
Yeah, you told the kids
I
to
mean,
be taller.
We're going to do this thing where we say kids need to learn the world doesn't hand everything to you on a silver platter, but you better give them that baseball.
Yeah.
Give them that ball. You caught it.
Yeah, I bet when I was a kid, kids weren't getting baseballs, even from their parents.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember what the culture was at the time.
I wouldn't be getting that baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad would have taken that to work.
That's a great point. 100%.
I have a baseball.
He'd have handed it to me and said, "Don't drop that."
Yeah.
Hold on to that for me.
I have a baseball sitting on the shelf downstairs that is a 1971 foul ball my dad caught at a Baltimore Orioles game when I was still inside. My mom was pregnant.
Don't say it like that.
I know. That was weird.
Oh, jeez.
I was still waiting for the party to start.
Now I have
you
the head.
Were
I
hated, still inside?
I, have, yeah. I hated everything
you.
About that.
I was still in there.
Here's my guess. Trump was on the shot.
It was dark.
I almost died in a head-on collision. The gondola got stuck, and he just talked about being inside.
Yeah, I have the ball from that.
Oh, you were still
so I got the ball. I was given the ball in 1971.
Everything you're saying is making me think I was
power
inside.
Through. Just keep going. Don't even.
What? You just keep. You just, dude. You put your head down and you keep going.
Just charge.
That's what
through.
You do.
That's how you got out.
That's how I got out. Head first, baby.
He's back.
Head first.
Let's go.
It's my first words.
Push. Here I come.
I'm like, let's go.
Robert Hyland. Right now.
They're like, you appear to be giving birth to a kickball.
Let's go!
Oh, Kevin.
Don't do that.
Kevin.
I'd like to make a formal request for that to not happen.
I would like
again.
To make a formal complaint. Where's HR?
We've been accosted.
Oh, my God. I don't need that.
Oh, the doctors and nurses
are
the
like, light in the operating room.
Yeah.
Come on,
not
dude.
That muffled. 151 DGS on Camo X. We're just talking about what the worst drive is. I just drove from St. Louis to Summit County, Colorado, and back, which means you drive all of Missouri and all of Kansas and about half of Colorado, and it looks a lot alike. Difficult. But then we were talking about Florida. And how if you're going to southern Florida, where we typically go, like Naples area, Siesta Key, you get to Florida, you're like, kids, we're in Florida. And then you have 8 more days to get to where you're going.
Oh, man. Dude, we obviously, I made that drive a lot back in the day going to college. and from Chicago or Detroit. Those are the two places where the departures, right? So you're going, you get to Atlanta, you're 12 hours in, you're halfway, basically. I mean, it's like 21, 22 hours down to Miami. So, like, you know, and that's not that far from the border. But if you think about, like, the northern border, like the northern border area of Florida, like Lake City, that's kind of like the first
thing
you.
That's where we always
Yeah, start. That's it, right. That's the first one you get. And then you take that to Miami. You're looking at, I think from there, 7.5 hours.
Sounds right.
Something like that, which is a lot when you've already been in the car for that long. Yeah, according to the map, it is, oh, no, it's not that far. It's only 6.5.
What's
that? Almost 7.
The longest like road trip you've done? I had friends who were in college on the East Coast, and so they drove from Boston to Palo Alto, California.
No, never done that.
I've gone from the western coast of California to St. Louis. That was my longest.
How long is that?
It took like 3 days.
Yeah.
We took 3 days. I'm not sure how long it should take, but yeah.
They never just done said that. By the time they hit Colorado, they were talking about like time travel and like alternate universes, and it felt real.
Yeah.
Like you just...
I think my longest is like either the Detroit, Chicago one to Miami. Those are the longest ones.
Mm. Yeah, I drove longer than I should have. I think that over-the-road truckers who are professionals, who are in big rigs that are like apartments, can only drive 11. And I drove 13, which I'm not proud of.
Oh, you mean
of.
Just this one? Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just this one. But what are you going to do? You know, you're not going to stop overnight.
Right.
Not for that.
And Noah and I, when we would go on our hiking trips, we went to Colorado, and I usually drive. And we did St. Louis to Frisco. It took us 14 hours. We had you stop, you go to the bathroom or whatever. It was 14 hours straight. And when I got there, I'm like, probably not going to do this again. I didn't like the 14 straight.
That's one thing that I am proud of myself. I am a slave to Siri. And if I'm leaving the house at 6 in the morning and it says I'm going to get there at 7 at night, 7:08, and we stop at a QT, and I get back in the car, and it says 7:18.
Yeah.
It makes me insane.
Yeah.
I didn't do that this time.
No,
I just figured it's fine. Like, again, I'm afraid of Phoebe. And so Phoebe had a Confederate with her, and they could team up on me. And so when they needed to stop for, like, Chick-fil-A or something, we would stop for Chick-fil-A. And I'd just be like, it's cool. It's fine. You know, you get there an hour later. Who cares?
That helped. I was literally picturing like Yosemite Sam or something, like a Confederate.
No.
I was like, a real Confederate?
A real Confederate? Wait a minute. Why?
I don't know. Phoebe brought along some Southerners.
Was it Daisy Duke?
I was so like, why did she have a Confederate?
She brought a damn Yankee with her.
She brought a fine Southern gentleman.
General Lee.
Was I to stop her?
General Lee is in the back of the Jeep.
If we could pull over sometime soon. I'm getting a bit sloppy thirsty back here.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.